Let me. We've got 15 minutes now, which is nonsense. We can't do it justice. And actually, we've been shortening this session over the years so that, and this very often happens, that we get blown out of the water. I did revisit some notes I wrote about it all years ago now. And then I thought, actually, it's so long since we've done a really good session on this. I don't think I'm going to send you the notes in advance. So what can we do now until lunchtime? I think we should have our hour for lunch, or are we going to shorten our lunch because of Pia needing to go to bed?
I'm happy to have the line shortened if.
Easy. I can keep it. It's totally up to you guys. Don't shorten it just for me.
I'm just thinking, actually, Jane, we had am I still right, a 12:15 about the coursework, the 15 minutes.
Yes, we did.
We squeezed that in these 15 minutes.
Right.
Because we were kind of talking about case studies and
We were.
have you?
What
So
a good
you.
idea. And it's only 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So we would have lunch at 12:45, having had half an hour now on grief. Oh, no, you're not saying that. Sorry.
No, the 15 minutes, we would still have lunch at 12:30 because
Yes.
the about
Yes.
coursework is only 15 minutes anyway.
Yeah, got it. Okay. We will do that. Okay. 12:30, we will have a full hour for lunch. I think actually we probably, oh, especially on our hot days. I know it's not hot for you in, I'm assuming in Australia. No.
But for us, it's too hot.
So, okay. And then we can probably adjust the afternoon a bit better. I think that's a really good idea.
Finish a bit earlier.
Okay. Now, you're all probably thinking about your writing up and so on. And a 10,000 word document sounds absolutely terrifying. And how on earth am I going to do that? And what is it all supposed to be? If you have handy the green notes, which are about your writing a case study, which is really the imminent thing. That's what you're going to be doing first. And I must have mine handy as well, so we could chat through exactly what we are doing with the case study. I think that's the prominent thing at the moment, isn't it? So that is on page of the green folder. It is starts on page 13. Have we kind of got there? Okay. The case study requirements. Now you're doing two. One has to be longer than the second one because we do ask for a bit more information. We want to know that you are teaching the Heaveners exercise and this is what it entails. You don't have to say much about it. Just a very little tiny guided moment which says, Heaveners part one involves this exercise, and you can just copy and paste the exercise in there and your explanations and then how it unfolds. But please, we've had in the past people have copied and pasted all your training notes into the case study. And that doesn't make any sense at all. We want your story with the client. That's why I'm going to all this trouble to say this, because the misunderstandings in the past have been absolutely crazy. So I'm glad you appreciate that that is crazy. So the longer exercise, the first case study will show what you have explained for each of the exercises to the client, not long paragraphs of detail and showing all your knowledge. just what you explained to the client very briefly. And then you will find that in the second case study, you don't need to do any of that. You can just say, I introduced heaven as part one. We already know what, how and how you are teaching ontogenics, and you will have had comments if we had anything to say about it. So that's why the second short case study is much shorter and actually probably easier, because you haven't got to go into the details.
Can I just add one thing, though, Jane, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but if, say, and I'm doubting this is going to happen, but for instance, you completely messed up delivering heaviness part one in your first case study, maybe you could write it up so that we could see that you could do it. But that would be the only sort of exception.
Yes, you're absolutely right there. If somebody had messed up in such a way, but of course that would have come through in the comments on the first study. So the student would already have realised that, and perhaps
But it would be nice to see.
Just to see, it would absolutely be nice to see. But also you could say, I realised in my previous, or in case study one, that bit didn't go well. This time I said, da-di-da-di-da. But even so, it need only take a small amount of words.
Yeah.
So I have a question on that. If I or we summarise how we explain it, fit it into the words, there's some part of me is thinking, well, there's a danger then that you might think I've missed pertinent things, which you then include in your comments. So it's that balance of thinking, how do I tell you exactly what I said while keeping it as brief as possible? Yeah,
this is the conundrum. Of course it is. And again, it's less of a conundrum in the second study. Yes. In the first, I'm always very careful to say, look, no one can know, because we're not asking for recordings, because that actually takes a lot of time to do. So no one knows verbatim exactly what has passed in that training room. So you do your best. And as long as you summarise to the best degree, you will get that right anyway. It's highly unlikely you'd forget something as important as with the breathing exercise, just allowing the system to do the breathing on its own. And if that's all you say, that's quite enough for me to show that you understand what you have just taught. And the fact that you might say, allow a little extra time between the repetitions of that phrase to register how the breathing is or whatever. But that's still only about 40 words. Whereas in the explanation, you're probably going to talk a bit more about breathing, aren't you? Things like, when we relax, we don't need to control it, or you might put that in. It doesn't, you know, in a way, you'll find the balance that gives us enough of the flavour of your knowledge to be able to make the assumption, hey, this is very clear, this is very nice, she hasn't done anything that's completely stood out, not to make a comment. And so sometimes I will add, I might have added here, da-di-da-di-da, but, you know, it's not about marks being taken off or anything like that. We're just getting the flavour. Does that help a bit, Bev?
Yeah. Thanks, Jane.
Yeah. Maybe, is the word flavour in these instructions? I don't know. And then, of course, the whole idea is that you will have two studies very differently presented, maybe, or not too differently, maybe, but the differences in your feeling about them, which could be a very nice learning. So the first study, yes, it is quite long. I'm on that paragraph. And we do need to see at a glance, we just talked about it, what you are doing and when and why. And why may not feature very much because we've got our course structure anyway. But I do want to know that you're not starting off with forehead cool because you've decided that because somebody has migraine headaches, that would be the best one to start with. Okay, I know that none of you would ever do that, but sometimes people get very curious ideas. So there we go. And write it as though the reader knows nothing about autogenics. Now, that comes back to Bev's question. So how much do I write, for goodness sake? So it just, again, it's these very brief explanations. But if you just say week three, we did last week's exercise, and then I introduced the new one, and they get on fine with it, and that's the end, that's all you write. I don't know what you taught in week three. So we do need to know enough. And as though what am I also saying? You know that the person who's going to read this study knows an awful lot about autogenic training. But if you pretended it was almost for a newspaper article, there's no way you could put too much detail in there. You're going to put a summary in there for the person who doesn't understand. I hope this is making a little bit of sense.
Can I ask another question, Jane?
Yes, please do.
It might be in there. I can't see it. I've just done a quick scan.
Okay.
It doesn't say about handouts in there because I've attached my handouts. That's not part of the appendix, is it? You
Yeah.
know, if I have altered the BAS standard handouts and created my own. I think there's a comment in there that says you'd want to see them because obviously you want to know what I'm giving to the clients.
Yes.
In the write-up, I've included for my first session the handouts that I've given.
Yeah.
Would you say that's too much information?
I would put them in an appendix, actually.
And does that count in the word count?
Well, that is the trouble, it does. So it does make it quite cumbersome. What we do say is you can use the BAS handouts just as they are.
Yeah.
By all means, alter them by putting your name on them or whatever you need to do administratively, that's fine. If you change it substantially, then yes, I think we should see them. But otherwise, you can say just somewhere in the general introduction, I use the standard BAS handouts. Or except for the anger because I rewrote or whatever it is.
Yeah. I rewrote them all. And I've created my own version of them. So using information that, you know, that I've been reading about. So,
Yeah.
you know, in the bottom of them, it's got my name, but also the BAS because I'm very mindful of plagiarism.
Yes, yeah.
What I don't want to do is lose my word count on an appendix,
Index,
including
yeah.
all these handouts.
No. I think that's a difficult one. Having said that, it might be perfectly possible to keep in the word count, actually, because if so much of that information of what you've given to the client, you won't have to put it into the study. But it's a tricky one. We always have a problem with this. I don't think that any case study needs to be 10,000 words, but I haven't written one for a very long time, so. What do you think, Donna?
I think you do need the words, actually, going back to mine. It's very difficult to know what you want, to be honest. So you do tend to put everything in there
In there,
so
which
you don't
in
miss anything
essence,
out. And just thinking about Bev's handouts, couldn't we just, can she submit them as an extra and not, because that does seem very unfair to
unfair. Yes, it
your
is.
new handouts
Yes,
part of the word count. So can you not just, can we not just accept them as,
Yeah.
or as a, we'll have a look at them rather than
Okay.
words.
As a supplementary task.
Yeah, because that seems fairer, I think.
Because if I say, oh, I just use the standard BAS handouts, and I'm being untruthful, you know, I want to,
Absolutely.
you know, and I want to kind of tell you the truth about what I did, without giving you guys loads of extra work to read my handouts, you know, but yeah,
Well, we
that's
have asked you to put them in if you have created your own or if you've done anything different to the BAS one. So there we are. Let's do it and let's not penalise you for doing it. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Right. Good. Thank you, Donna. Right. And really, it's the story. So, where are we? I'm on page 14. So, the factual information and the assessment. You're going to give well, it's got quite useful headings. The assessment is quite useful, actually, to make into a kind of headings setup, because the questionnaire has got very specific sections in it, hasn't it? Section A, section B, or whatever, with the questions. So you can just write, for section A, there was this issue, or that's going on, or it's that medical condition, and that's about as much as you want to write. And that's fine, because we're more interested in the impact on the client. So you would, it's that bit that we're interested in, how you sort of managed it. So if it is too, I'm going to say too wordy, that's not fair. The assessment is quite a long thing to do, especially people having different histories and so on and so on. We really do, though, want to know what you asked and what the answers seem, what the answers were. As much as you can remember. You might well be scribbling on the questionnaire as you're talking to the client, and that will remind you for the write-up. And it's the dialogue that is so interesting. What did you explain as well? That's the other thing. The questionnaire is quite lengthy. People might think they're just coming to learn a relaxation technique. This might have been the case for you, Sebastian, that they had no idea of the implications of an autogenic process. So my starting point with any assessment is to explain a little of autogenic training, what it is, and that it can wake up a process which has its ups and downs, its mood swings, maybe mind-body memories coming up. This is why we have the assessment. And if you've explained that in a couple of sentences, then you've actually put your assessment onto a good footing. And it doesn't have to be terribly stringent about somebody's suitability or something like that. It's actually, we just want to know where you are in life. I love your name of the questionnaire, Bev. It is all about a life situation, isn't it? All of our stories are about our lives. So putting that into the assessment actually makes me realise you've taken time, or a little bit of time anyway, to explain why we've got this detailed information. And then you've got the client on side as well. And if that's missing in the read-up, I'm thinking, oh, I wonder what the client's feeling about this. And probably that's one of those situations where it has happened, it just hasn't been spoken of in the writing.
It would be lovely to see like an example of that, you know, in the green note, you know, that says, here's the heading for this section of the live questionnaire, yeah, and a little bit about the dialogue, what was asked, what came out, just for, you know, only like a small number of sentences, but just as an example. Because I've never written a case study. I think I would have, that would have reduced my word count. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
If I knew that.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. We've always had discussions about whether to have examples of things. And then, of course, are held back because people can just copy an example and it wasn't actually what really happened. So, you know, that's that's why we don't have any examples, which is an interesting thought.
Pia. I wonder if I certainly know I wouldn't copy, because I wouldn't learn anything if I copy.
No, I'm
sorry, but I think we can say that for the three of us.
Right.
I would love just to, but that's my dyslexic brain. I just like to see something concrete or something, so I have something to not to follow, but it's a setup. Oh, so that's what you were after in that format, or whatever. Not to copy, because
it would be obvious, you know, if it was just a small example and we copied it, it would be so blatantly obvious.
Well, of course it would. Yes, I know that. Of course it would. Okay, I know it came up several times, but you're quite right. I will see what I can do. Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
How many thousand other things have we got to do, Donna?
Too many. And I am thinking maybe our course is going to alter a little bit in the coming months as well. So
yes. Yes, indeed. Okay. I will do that. I will see what I can do. Yeah. And it's really it's about structure. See, we thought we had structure in here, actually, on page 14, certainly for the assessment.
Oh, it's very helpful, yes. What you've got on page 14. It really is.
It's really what?
It is really helpful for, what you have. Yeah.
Yes. However, no more about a sample dialogue. So really, you just want a sample.
Yeah, it's just a sample. That's all I'm after. Yeah. Not anything else.
Yeah,
really.
Nothing else. No, of course not. Okay.
Would you say that, Beth, too?
Yeah, like say take something off the bullet list there, like present complaints, and then list one or two things, just make something up, and then under it would be the questions we asked and the replies of that mythical client. So and that couldn't be then copied. It's just giving an example of how we present it, because I've written mine in paragraphs. Yeah. Rather than if I'd have known I could just section head it and list the things, I would have gone down that approach.
Yes, of course.
Saved some of the words and saved your time reading my lengthy
words. No, it was fine. It was absolutely fine. You did what you did, and I enjoyed the read. So, all of that. But a report doesn't have to have continuation sentences, which will save a lot of words. Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, right. So then, summary of initials and your own intuitive assessment of the client and thinking about modifications in the training course. But actually, you know what we've heard this morning? It's extremely rare that you have to worry about how you might modify the training course at this stage. Very, very, very rare. You will always teach it as writ, and just that wonderful example appears that actually the one formula that you might have had question marks about before you started was the very one that she needed. And so we can always say everybody can try the new formula, and if they really disagree with it on that very, very first go, then yes, reduce or omit for the moment or whatever. So it's very unlikely, even though we might think, very unlikely to ever have to do it. And then the detailed session-by-session account, do put the dates in. I'm always intrigued if there's been a three-week gap. It doesn't matter. Well, you would explain that, wouldn't you?
Who's that?
And
sorry, I think it was the dog. Going to mute for a minute.
If you use abbreviations, which is very useful to do for the offloading exercises, it says please don't do that and always write it out in full intentional crying exercise. I'm going to suggest if you write intentional crying exercise brackets ICE, then you can continue to use ICE as an abbreviation. I don't think you need to have to worry about that. Okay, self-reflection. What's going on for you? Do notice your... We've just been talking about that anyway, haven't we? The stone wall and my frustration sometimes. And what is happening? Okay. I think all of this is the sort of things that we've spoken about today.
Jane, may I ask you, I have the 24th September 2018. So what is the date for us?
Oh, didn't I send you? I beg your pardon. It is the 15th of October.
15th of October.
So how come you've got the 15th of October, but not in here? Have I sent you?
You have probably sent it, but I haven't printed them.
Maybe that was it. Yes, maybe that was it. That's for case study one, and case study two is the 15th of February. But you can submit these any time. That's the latest date.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Now, we've also got two typed copies should be posted to the case study markers. I think that's far too difficult for you to do, Pia. I think if we need to type them, we'll print them. We'll just have to do that.
Well, what I can do is I can, because that's why it takes me so long. I just dictate them and then I have them transcribed and then it's just, you know, it's just, I'm used to it. It just takes me much time. It's just how it is.
But what are we saying, Donna? Are people, we used to say that we prefer the printed copies and that was a responsibility of the students to send them to.
That's okay. I'll send them to you. I'm quite happy. I'll send them. That's okay.
But I think we are now in the digital age. Let us discuss that and let you know.
I guess it depends if you're printing them out yourselves. We can definitely help in that regard if they're going to be printed.
That has been our situation. I mean, I much prefer when I'm doing a detailed read, to do it on paper.
Yeah.
I find it really hard work on a screen, you know, to dive into something.
I'm happy to send them to you.
If you are, well, I think that's a great bonus. In which case we will, nearer the time when you want our addresses, we can give them to you.
Yeah, who are the markers then in this case?
Well, I started doing these very detailed comments years and years ago and it's never stopped. In this case, it'll be Donna and Patricia because we are the ones who are involved in the training. Anne Bowden and Ian Ross, I hope, are still going to do the essays. And we can talk about those another time, but you're not ready for those. No need to worry about that one yet.
So all three of you would like a copy? Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of printing and posting. It's probably cheaper. You're on mute.
They could all go to the hospital, maybe, or to one of us, because
we're
both at the hospital. We can meet up. Hopefully when you're back, he's around the corner.
Yeah, that's right. If they can all go to the hospital, we will give you that address.
Yeah.
Send them to me. They'll end up in my pigeonhole. Perfect.
I haven't qualified for one of those yet. I haven't got a pigeon.
No, you should have one.
I don't have a pigeon.
But you haven't got a pigeon. That's what we keep talking about. Yes.
What about confidentiality? If they're in, they'll be in the envelope, won't they? In there,
they will be in the envelope. You are only using a first name. There is no identification marks within them, and because you're writing a confidential study, so even if they should fall into the wrong hands, which they won't when we give you the information, that's fine.
Thank you. Yes, it's not.
I mean, even we don't know who you're teaching or who they are. Okay.
I know. Yeah. Thank you.
I think that's probably enough on that. I think we should go and have lunch.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yes. Anne is joining us at 1:30. Right. So we do have a shorter lunch, but we have done that bit from, thank you, Donna. I always need someone to advise me on timetables. I'm absolutely useless.